Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting once again from the Black Diamond Group Mothership in the middle of the Mitten in a beautiful green nutrient-filled field.
Thank
Craig Russell.
Thank goodness for Happy Hydro for doing that.
How did I say that?
I don't know how you said
it. Goodness for Happy Hydro.
Yeah, no kidding.
Up in Gaylord, a couple locations. They do a great job.
The whole network is back together. Everybody, here we go.
All the sister stations broadcasting the Todd L. Levitt Law Show on Rock 105, 95.5 and
98.5 UPS.
We're all in concert now.
Yes, exactly. Well, we've resynced back up.
Well, it was the Asabo canoe race. People called my office and were emailing me, what happened to your show?
Oh, yeah, because the Asabo canoe marathon.
Need to make an announcement next year.
Yeah, that's what I have to do. Exactly.
Joan Jett.
That's awesome.
Hate myself for loving you. How many of us have said that?
The big race, you know, the number one and number two teams in that race were both sponsored by UPS. We were the sponsors.
First and second place was a second?
Yeah, it was huge.
Unbelievable.
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
Great race. 71st will be next year. Be a good time.
I got a complaint.
Okay.
It's just an issue.
An observation, maybe?
I think my observation is something. It's not even an observation.
All right.
My dog got skunked again.
Oh, man.
Two nights ago.
I hate that.
My German Shepherd.
Okay.
Want to know her name?
Sure.
Not happening.
Yeah, I know. You're not telling
me. No, not happening. But, you know, when I take her out at certain times of the night.
Right.
I'm very aware of where the animals are. Because a couple things. We have different creatures living in different places around where I live. Now, first off, before I get to the skunk and the creatures, let's talk about bats.
Ugh.
Boy, I got to tell you something. When the sun goes down, I look up. Look up, folks. The bats, they come so close to me. I want to take my GoPro and try to capture these bats. They come so close. They're going after the mosquitoes.
Sure, that's good.
And they're harmless.
Yeah, but still, they're weird.
No, they're beautiful. They're come on.
They're creepy. Batman, creepy.
They're bats. You know what it reminds me of? The Lost Boys. Remember the movie from the 80s, The Lost Boys?
I do remember that.
Those damn vampires. Yeah. The grandfather. Those damn vampires.
Is that Wilford Brimley?
I don't know. At the end of Lost Boys, the grandfather acknowledges he knew all along about the vampires and says, those damn vampires. But I have bats everywhere. But back to the skunking.
Okay.
I'm aware of where the skunk lives.
Sure.
Because they're living in certain places.
Right.
I'm always watching my dog to keep this particular German Shepherd away from that area at night. And I make noise to let these, you know, creatures know I'm out there, so they get the heck out of the way so my dog doesn't approach them, because my dog chases squirrels, birds, deer, cannot catch them.
going to scare that skunk to death.
Caught the skunk. My dog was so happy that she caught the skunk. You know, she didn't learn the first time 2 years ago.
Well, of course not.
So, but the problem is this happened at midnight.
Oh.
And I have shampoo for this.
I was going to say, what do you do?
Okay, so there's vinegar and water. People say you can go online. There's
tomato juice.
Yeah. I have a pool that she plays in, like a kiddie pool.
Okay.
I filled the kiddie pool up. I got the shampoo out. I looked at the shampoo that I got at one of the pet stores.
All right.
To see what was in it. What do you think was in the shampoo that gets the skunk out?
Dish detergent.
No. Hemp.
Hemp, really?
Hemp is one of the key ingredients.
Wow.
So big shout out to all the hemp producers of the world, except the United States of America. We're not going to talk about that this show, but it's hemp has many uses.
Right.
Is in the ingredients that helped get my dog de-skunked. But the problem was, you know, I smelled like it. Yeah. I was up all night.
Yeah.
Just horrible.
That's the worst. Just the worst.
Skunked.
Ugh. Not good.
And bats.
We got a lot of law to talk about, a lot of good stuff going on. This is a big show, isn't it?
We do have a big show.
Okay.
But before we start the show,
okay,
one of my closest friends.
All right.
No, literally.
Yeah.
He's been on the show. He's okay. Let's just start off with he's going to be okay.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
He was on his Harley, 9:30, as the sun was setting.
Right.
A deer ran out.
Yep.
Hit the bike. Unfortunately, this happens all too often. Frank Bailey, Francis Bailey, my dear friend, he's my brother, I love him, flew off the bike.
Oh.
Laying in the street, right here in Mount Pleasant.
Okay.
A lady comes upon him, from what I'm told, and her kids. They're talking to him because he's okay. He's hurt.
Right.
But he's okay. I mean, as much as you can be okay.
Right.
Other vehicles pull up. They're starting to, you know, pull up at this time of the night.
Right.
On comes a vehicle in the opposite direction. Couldn't see because of the headlights.
Oh.
Hit my friend Frank.
Oh, my God.
Over Frank.
Oh, my God.
And my friend Frank's been on the show. I always give big shout-outs to Frank Bailey. We go to concerts together. He bought me a lawnmower, you know, years ago. He's okay. He's fighting. Okay. He's one of the strongest guys I know.
Okay.
But, you know, it worries me that time of the night as a driver of an automobile, let alone all our brothers and sisters and loved ones on their motorcycles.
Exactly.
So big art. This show is for you, Frank. We love you. As soon as you're better, which will be a long recovery, you're coming back on the show.
Wow, that means the show's going to be on for that long? That's awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
Thing. That's a good thing. But no, we hope Frank gets better.
We do hope Frank gets better.
Big shout out to Frank.
And I don't ever want my dog to get skunked again.
Yeah. Oh. That's just
Do you have pets?
I do not.
You do not have pets?
I do not, for that very reason.
Oh, really?
No. Well, plus I also, man, I have a, you know, I'm gone all time of the day. Would not be fair for me to have like a dog or a cat or something, because I would never be home to give it attention. And I love dogs. I love dogs and cats and stuff like that. I love the chipmunk that lives in my walls that comes out every once in a while in my house. I love the mouse in my office. We found the lizard again in the radio station. There's a lizard that comes in and out, scares the crap out of Tammy Thompson.
There's a lizard at the radio station?
At the radio station, yep.
We're in the mothership right now. All I see is Walter White and Sal Goodman.
And Greenfields and lush, pure Michigan.
Yeah. Hey, I'm attorney Todd L. Levitt. You're listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We have a lot to get to in the show here.
Okay.
A lot of law.
A lot of good stuff to talk about?
I get a lot of calls.
Sure.
Well, I get a lot of calls because I'm a criminal defense attorney.
Right, exactly. Say your number.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People want me to say it more on the show, but this show's not a solicitation for my services, albeit, though, 989-772-6000. Criminal defense,
you
got to
give the people what they want, man. If the people want hamburgers, you give them
hamburgers. I've met a lot of nice people through the show, but the show, if you listen to it on a regular basis, I don't sit here and say, hey, call my office, like a commercial.
It's about 1% call your office and about 99% Todd.
It's not even that. Don't even call. Yeah, but I mean, we do represent people that listen to the show.
Sure.
We're happy to take their calls, and I refer them out all the time.
Right.
I get a lot of calls, as I said.
Okay.
One of the biggest issues that people have out there.
All right.
Ready for this?
All right.
Neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
Land disputes.
Oh, yeah.
I am not a real estate attorney.
No.
But I get this question all the time. Todd, we have 2 acres, so many feet and inches. We always felt and thought our property line was where we thought it was.
Sure.
somebody moves in to the house next to us, gets a survey. Now they have literally put a fence up on where we believe our property line is. So the question, there's something called adverse possession.
Okay.
Adverse possession is where it was more common, you know, 100 years ago. And the law said that if you possess and you're on someone's piece of property for 7 or more years and you're taking care of it, you're cutting the lawn, and that person fails to check on it, cut the lawn, take care of it, make sure it's safe for the public or people in the area, then if you can adversely possess it, go to court. And I could be wrong. I'm not a real estate lawyer. I just remember this from law school.
Right.
You can then try to claim it.
You can
adverse possession.
Yeah, exactly.
So I get these calls on neighbor disputes all the time. And I don't have any neighbors.
All right.
I didn't have any downstate. I just refused to have neighbors because neighbors is like a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's good or bad.
Yep. Exactly.
And unfortunately, all too often, it's bad. But have you heard, I get these calls all the time about these land disputes.
Well, you know, that whole, when you said the 7-year thing, I thought that was very interesting. It almost sounds like a common law marriage where like, if you live with someone for 7 years, it's a common law marriage. I don't know I think that's more of a myth in most places. I don't know if that's an actual law, but it sounds like if I'm 100 feet on somebody else's property and I'm putting a garden up and I'm clearing it out and keeping track of it and everything, 7 years, that's my land right there. And who's going to dispute it?
Well, adverse possession is a situation when a person, as I said a moment ago, who does not have legal title to the land or a real property, occupies the land without the permission of the legal owner. The permission, Craig, of the owner may be reflected in the entering into a lease or granting a license, typically associated with the payment of some rent.
Right.
What I'm referring to is a situation where the person does not have legal title or have a right to occupy the land. That's what adverse possession is. And the laws of many countries allow the adverse possessor to acquire title to the land after a prescribed statutory period. And that varies between jurisdictions, and it depends on the type of land and other circumstances. But the law of most jurisdictions do not permit claims of adverse possession, get this, against public land. Squatting is a form of adverse possession.
Sure it is.
But again, the laws of most jurisdictions do not permit claims against public lands.
Right.
And the adverse possessor, I'm just going back in my law school brain here, is usually required to prove non-permissive use, which is actual, open, and notorious, exclusive, adverse, and continuous for the statutory period. So you can define that. It has to be actual. It has to be open.
Right.
So you're putting everyone on notice, exclusive, adverse, and continuous.
See, that's what I like about you and the way you did. You described that because you're reading all that garbly gook, and I'm like going, I have no idea.
No, this is just from memory.
No, I know. You're saying all that, but then you explain what it means in real terms. And I like that. That's what I like about you as a lawyer.
Well, and what I recall about adverse possession, folks, we're talking about if you have a house and you thought that this piece of property that was yours turns out it's not yours. I mean, it could be inches, it could be thousands of acres. I mean, I never heard that before, but I'm sure out west it was.
Sure.
You know, that
exactly.
case. But when we come back from break.
Yeah, I got something else to throw into that because I think there's.
I got a question for you, though.
Well, and I think there's a reason that happens more often than not. But we'll do it after we come back from the break.
And the question will be, if a claim to title by adverse possession is successful, is there compensation that you have to pay to the owner to acquire the property?
Ooh, that's a good question.
That's the question.
That's a good question.
Well, when we come back from break right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
You said you'd meet me.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong with Joan Jett, Craig.
I hate myself for loving you.
Can't break free from the things that you do. What's the rest? Come on.
I remember it. Even if I did.
You had me going.
Even if I did remember it, I'm not singing anymore.
Come on, Craig.
Dude, I don't want to get thrown in jail in Clear County.
I told the deputies in Clear County who do a great job, by the way. All at the courthouse.
They told you not to sing it.
They told us never to sing again. I wasn't going to. You started singing.
I know.
And during the break, we were continuing a conversation from the first segment.
Yeah.
We are a law show, and we're talking about land use, adverse possession.
Yeah. Now, you asked me. So, let's recap. So, I own a house, and I think I own 2 acres. So, I mow these acres. I water it. I put a pool up, blah, blah, blah. Somebody moves in behind me and says, oh, no, you only own an acre and a half. This other half acre is really mine.
It was sold to me.
Yeah, and I've been taking care of it for 15 years. Can I lay claim to that piece of land since I've been taking care of it? And the law says after a predetermined amount of time, you can. Now, the question you asked is, do I then have to remunerate the person who technically owns that land? Do I have to pay them some kind of a penalty or some kind of judgment because I now get that land even though I've been taking care of it?
And here's the answer.
No.
Title is acquired without compensation. Now, look, we don't want everyone out there who's listening to start adversely. Is that a word?
It is a word.
Possessing your neighbor's land.
Right.
Okay. And I'm going to tell the listeners in the next segment, if in the state of Michigan where we broadcast from, and a podcast all over the country and the world, what Michigan law is.
Okay.
But it all started, let me tell you where this started.
Okay.
It started in England.
Okay.
And it's been one of the most contentious methods of acquiring property over the centuries. But back in England, historically, if someone possessed land long enough, it was thought that in itself justified acquisition of a good title. So that meant, Craig, that while English land was continually conquered, because in England it was always being conquered, pillaged, and stolen by lords and barons throughout the Middle Ages, if you remember history.
Yep.
Well, those who could show they possessed the land long enough would not have their title questioned. That's where it all started.
Okay.
Back in England. And a modern function has been that the land which is neglected by an owner may be converted into another's property if continual use is made. Typically, I've heard 12 years. There was something called the Land Registration Act, I recall from law school back. And then there was something with 12 years, 7 years. Yeah. So this goes way back.
It's really interesting. For starters, if you live in a city, you're going to have a hard time trying to pull this off. If you're thinking you're gonna grab some of your neighbor's land because you want a new garden or something, you live in a city, you're going to have a hard time. You live out in the country, you live out in a rural area, maybe easier because who's checking some of that stuff? But you live in the city, you're not going to be able to knock your neighbor's fence down and just take the part of their land. It ain't going to work. It's really also interesting because, we escaped England. Americans, people, started this country, tried to escape religious persecution and left England to come to the United States and form a more perfect union and all that kind of stuff. It's interesting, some of the things that we took with us, that being one of them. Because that was something that happened in England, and that came over here.
Here's the answer for Michigan.
Okay.
15 years.
Wow.
So in Michigan possession, we're talking, folks, about adverse possession, and most people never even heard of this.
No, it's true.
You ever heard of the rule against perpetuities?
Not at all.
Yeah, I couldn't even figure that out in law school. Okay. Yeah, don't even get me started on
all
that.
Right.
But in Michigan, again, the possession, as in back in England, must be actual, visible, open, notorious, exclusive, hostile, uninterrupted, and you have to prove the uninterruption for the statutory period of 15 years. And it's important to note that the term hostile is a term of art in the law of adverse possession. It does not imply ill will. Adverse possession, Michigan, 15 years. Because as an attorney, I don't specialize in land issues.
Not at all.
No, not even close.
No. You refer to other people.
My good buddy, John Devine.
Okay.
John Devine does this. Todd Nye does it up north. I can go on and on.
Right.
Okay. Great lawyers. But, let me tell you about, so we're talking about neighbors who thought they owned land that turned out not to be theirs, but they can say, hey, look, I've taken care of this property. And it normally happens like this. People they buy land.
Mm-hmm.
Someone passes away. No one ever, the kids live out of state. Yep. They don't check on the land.
Yep.
Now you live next to that piece of land.
Yep.
Now you start mowing the land. Now I'm not recommending anybody do this.
No, but
this is how it happens. I hear it in court.
Exactly.
You start mowing the land, cutting trees down, which you should. Yeah. First of all, you shouldn't do this if you know it's not yours.
Right.
Okay.
But what if you don't know it's
not yours?
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
There's always going to be.
But here's the other. Yeah. But here's the thing. The question is, does adverse possession apply if you didn't know it was yours? Therefore, are you adversely and openly, notoriously possessing someone else's property? That's a question I cannot answer, because adverse possession is 15 years. You're possessing that property. The owner fails to take care of it. And the law says that if you own property, you have to check on it.
Well, yeah.
So
sure.
As a defense in court, I'm coming to court and saying, hey, wait a minute, Craig Russell, you're arguing that you possess this piece of property, these 2 acres, for 15 years. I'm here every year.
And nobody ever does anything.
You're at work. You didn't know I was here. Now, you didn't adversely possess it.
Now, here's something.
How do you like that argument?
I'm gonna say something. Here, you ready for this? This is a big legal term here. There's a legal phrase. I am sure you've heard it. It's probably one of the most famous legal phrases in popular culture. Possession is 9/10 of the law. If you possess it, what does that even mean? You tell me. You're a lawyer. Possession is 9/10 of the law.
No, I disagree with that.
Yeah, really?
Because here's something. Did you know there's something called larceny by conversion?
I did not know that.
You did not? You know what larceny is?
Well, yeah, larceny is.
Larceny is the trespassing and taking away the personal property of another.
Okay.
Whereas retail fraud applies to a store.
Right.
For an employee, embezzlement.
Right.
Larceny by conversion. I loan you a piece of property. Okay, hey, Todd, can I borrow your laptop? Sure, Craig.
Okay.
How long do you need to borrow it for, by the way?
A week. Okay.
The week goes by. Craig.
Yeah, Todd.
I need my laptop back.
I don't have it.
Where is it?
I got stolen. I stumped you. I don't know. What was I supposed to say? How was I supposed to make the argument for what you're saying?
Okay. I'll get it to you. I got stolen. You did throw me off there. Because I want to give the definition. I want to give an example to the public.
What's the example?
Larceny by conversion is this.
Okay. I borrow your laptop.
You failed to return my laptop after a week.
For whatever reason.
I call you.
Okay.
I email you.
Okay.
I stop by.
Okay.
You don't even come do the show.
I'm avoiding you like the plague.
2 months have gone by.
Right.
You still won't return my laptop.
I love your laptop.
You know why?
Because
you've converted it to your own personal use. So at one point, hold on. At one point, you had permission to use my personal property, that being a laptop. Now, you fail to return it within a reasonable amount of time, beyond a reasonable amount of time. And that's a good question. What is reasonable? And that's something that lawyers argue all the time in trial on a multitude of cases. What is and is not reasonable. And that applies across the board to 100 different legal theories. But you don't return my laptop. It's not reasonable. You've converted to your own use. You've now committed larceny. And I'm taking it to court.
Sure you are. You want your laptop back. I totally understand.
And I'm going to make a police report.
And it's the same thing.
And it's not a civil case. It's a criminal case now. Larceny is a crime.
Yeah, exactly.
It's under the Michigan Penal Code.
Exactly.
I just want to say penal code. But we went from land use. Penal code.
Okay.
We went from adverse possession
to
someone possessing your personal property beyond a reasonable amount of time, largely by conversion.
So that would make sense. If I was taking care of that piece of land, you said I could use it, and then after a while I don't give it back to you and I still use it for my own. Maybe I put a fence up on it. That's a great.
Okay,
that's
that is notorious in the definition. It's adverse to my interest. Yep. Now you're meeting the elements of what adverse possession is.
Right.
But let me state a disclaimer here. I'm a criminal defense attorney.
Yeah.
Okay. I am not a land use attorney. I don't deal in easements. We're just having an open discussion because I did receive, and I often receive, calls and emails in regards to land disputes. One of them being, you know, we're talking inches.
Right.
And here's another question. You and I are neighbors.
All right.
My tree hangs over onto your land.
All right.
Do you have a right to cut the branches off that tree that's hanging over your land?
Possession is 9/10 of the law. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Because it hangs over onto that part of the tree has now become mine because it hangs over into my lawn.
That tree is attached to something on my property. What gives you a right, Craig Russell? Because you say possession is not, by the way, possession is not 9/10 of the law.
I know. It's a great phrase, though.
I know, but
I use
it
all the time.
I know.
But I'm just.
Because the reason we talked about larceny by conversion, because you were possessing something and you didn't have a right to possess it beyond a reasonable amount of time. the hangover issue. Neighbors deal with this all the time in court. I hear it all the time. And we're going to answer that later in the show.
Okay. Next segment. We got to take a break.
Next segment. Right.
Because I've got a great argument back for you.
So what's the question before we go to break?
My argument back for you?
No, the tree hanging issue.
The tree hanging. What's the question?
Yeah, so the audience remembers when we come back from break.
The question is, you have a tree on your property and it hangs over onto my property. Am I allowed to cut the branches off?
And people do this all the time. Sure, and then they go to court. Or you have a tree. It's growing so big. It's starting to impede on my property. I hear this all the time. Yep. When we come back from break, we're going to answer those questions right here on Dodge Rock Block on 98.5 UPS Rock 105 95.5. The Todd L. Levitt Law Show with Craig Russell Morning Hustle 5 days a week, including Saturday. Takes the break, Craig.
How the hell do you talk that fast?
Coffee beans. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong with Joan Jett. We're not going to sing it. Craig Russell, big shout out, by the way, to Nicole.
Nicole, okay.
Who's the general manager at Dick's Sporting Goods in Mount Pleasant.
Oh, okay.
Nicole does a great job. She's been in retail for years. Great family. She does a great job.
I've never met her before, but hi, Nicole. How you doing?
Always enjoy talking to her when we go to Dick's.
Okay, there you go.
Shameless plug there.
Okay, sure.
And also, we're dedicating the show, if you just tuned in, to my good friend Frank Bailey, Mount Pleasant, Michigan, was on his motorcycle, his Harley, hit a deer. When he flew off the motorcycle, he was hit by an oncoming vehicle.
He's fighting
the good fight. He's gonna be okay.
Good.
He's still with us. Good. I love you, Frank. He's one of my best friends. We go to concerts together. We've been together for a long time. He's been on the show.
Right.
So, big shout out to Little John, by the way.
Speaking of all these
shout outs, Little John.
All these shout outs you're doing, do they know anything about the law?
They do, only because they listen to the show.
Right, exactly. And we're teaching about law today.
We're talking property rights.
Exactly.
The tree.
Even though you're not a property lawyer.
Nothing to do with property. No.
At all.
No. Not even. Zero. I'm a criminal defense attorney.
To be fair, if somebody calls you, you definitely will. Not deflect the call, but you'll recommend them to somebody else, somebody who does do this kind of law, correct?
Right. I think my buddy JJ Klaus from Clear County does it.
Okay. You'll find somebody who can help people.
Yeah, my buddy John Devine has been on the show. Love you, John. Exactly. Todd Nye does property rights also. So there's a lot of great lawyers out. So I'm not a land specialist, but I know enough
about it
to talk about it. And then because if you're a lawyer and you specialize in criminal defense as I do, you have no business practicing any other area of law. So what gives me a right to talk about it on the radio? Because we're not telling anybody, we're not calling someone to action.
Sure.
We're just talking about stuff I learned in law school because all these property issues come up every day in court.
And you pick up some of this stuff by osmosis, do you not? I mean, you go through law school, you have to learn about basic tenets of law. It's the same thing. I work at a radio station. I work on the radio and I work at a specific kind of radio station, but I know about other kinds of radio stations and I know about radio law because I've had to do it. It's the same kind of deal. You kind of pick it up because you have to go through some of this stuff. Didn't you learn about this like first year of law school about this very question we were asking about the tree hanging over? That was the initial question you said. If you have a tree in your yard and the branches hang over into my yard, do I have the right to cut the branches down? I say yes.
Okay. So you say yes. Todd and Craig are neighbors. My tree is impeding, hanging over your property.
Yes.
Okay.
And I say yes.
So here's what I would say. Here's my thought.
Okay.
By law, you have the right, depending on the jurisdiction.
Okay.
So check your local ordinances and state law.
Sure.
Depending on what state you're. to trim the branches and limbs that extend past the property line.
Right.
Because that property line is your property.
Right.
I didn't give you permission to let your tree grow over here.
That's right.
In fact, I've been complaining about it for years. However, the law, I believe, and again, it's jurisdiction to jurisdiction, so check with a lawyer, only allows the trimming and the tree cutting up to the property line, I'm sure. You can't go onto the neighbor's property and destroy the tree, because then you're going to be charged with all trespassing, malicious destruction of property.
Yep.
And if you harm the tree, you know, like I said, you could be, in some states, you could be found liable up to 3 times the value of the tree.
Wow. And how do you value a tree?
Well, most trees have a replacement value. You ready for this?
Okay.
Depending upon a tree and where you live.
Right.
$500 to $2,500.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Holy moly.
Of them, though, there's been cases $20,000 to $60,000.
Wow.
Yep.
That's crazy. Now, here's another question about this.
So how about the fruit? What if I have a fruit tree hanging over on your property?
And the fruit falls in my yard? My fruit.
No.
No.
I'm going to say...
If I can cut the branches...
No.
What if there's an apple hanging off the branch?
Courts are divided. Okay,
What if there's an apple hanging off the branch and I cut the branch and the apple falls in my yard?
Okay, the apple belongs to me. Want to know what I think?
I think
the courts are probably divided on the apple tree.
I don't know. Well, so here's another question. Let me throw this one out at you. So let's say this German Shepherd of yours, who I don't know the name of, she's avoiding the skunk, runs into my yard, craps in my yard. Who has to clean it up?
You.
Why?
I'm not coming
not
on your property.
Dog.
No, we're having a... Oh, here's why I'm not cleaning up my dog's crap on your yard, Craig.
Why?
Because throughout the show, we have a land dispute.
Right.
We're already disputing that my apples on your yard, you think you have a right to eat.
Yep.
You're saying you have a right to cut the branches down.
Sure.
Which I think I agree with.
Okay.
If my dog... Now we're in dispute. We're going to court. If my dog goes onto your yard and we're in court, the last thing I'm doing is going under your yard. But now you're going to have your attorney... Or you're going to file a complaint for dog at large.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, or...
Exactly.
If there's a, there could be a local... I wonder if there's a local ordinance. You ready for this, township folks out there?
All right.
If there's local ordinances that speak to the issue of if your dog comes onto my land and defecates, this is not the first impression of this issue.
No, never at
Because
all.
How many dogs... How many times do people walk their dogs around neighborhoods and they go on people's property all the time?
Yeah.
How rude is that?
That is pretty rude.
No, come on.
Now, what about if you're in a public park and the dog poops? You have to clean that up. Why wouldn't you, if the dog poops in my yard, go have to come and clean it
up? Well, I'm not saying you shouldn't clean it up, but I would say, look, most neighbors get along.
That's true.
A lot
don't. This is true.
Well, my dogs are trained. I say dogs.
Right.
You're not going to know the names.
I know.
Yeah, and I have a killer cat.
I know.
But if I'm walking my... Look, I know my dog's movements.
You should.
You should.
When
they eat, where they go,
yeah.
This and that, always you in should. The woods. But if I walk my dog, I'm taking a bag with me.
Exactly.
You don't want to be known as, oh...
That's the neighborly thing to do.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Craig Russell, you know, that son of a you-know-what, his dog is always walking down here crapping. He never cleans it up. You know what's going to happen? Can I tell you what's going to happen?
What's going to happen?
Well, I don't know about you, but I live in farm country.
Okay.
And there's too many people out there where I live who are related to farmers. And, you know, they use manure on the farms.
Yeah.
You can smell it all over the place.
Yeah.
So, Craig Russell, you don't clean up that dog crap that keeps going on my lawn.
It's a lot bigger crap.
I'm calling one of my farmer buddies.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not actually going to do that, nor do I recommend anybody do that.
No, that's not a good idea.
We're talking fiction. We're just having fun here. Don't call someone and have them dump manure on your neighbor's lawn.
Besides, I don't
Am
have
I
a dog.
Right?
I don't have a dog, so that isn't really
And if you did, you wouldn't tell me the dog's name.
No, I would not.
But
I probably would tell you my dog's
name. But if we're in a land dispute...
Okay.
And I think it varies from state to state, and I believe courts are divided on this issue without even looking it up.
Okay.
I'm just going to, you know, I don't know for a fact, but
that seems like one of those pretty
I'm cutting
basic.
The branches. If the branch, I'm saying as a lawyer, I'm cutting the branches because that's my property line. It's over my fence.
Yep.
I've knocked on your door. I've been very polite. I've asked you time and time again. You know, it's near my cars. It's near my vehicles. And now those apples on that apple tree, Craig Russell, are starting to fall on the ground. And you're falling on my motor vehicle. Now you're ruining the paint on my vehicle.
No.
We're going to court, my man.
I'm
going to
throw here.
And then the bats come out at night. The skunks are skunking my dog.
All right, let me throw
you and I have neighbor issues.
Let me throw one at you. So let's say.
I'm just saying.
Let's say, and this can go both ways. Let's say you have a fence up. Okay, you have a fence on your property that tree's hanging over. Let's say some of that fence starts to fall down on my property. Who's responsible to clean it up? You because it's your fence or me because it's on my property? Good question, huh? Good question.
I'm going to give you an answer.
Okay.
Well, first off, here's another scenario, and I'm going to answer that one.
All right.
My fence falls onto your property somehow.
Yep.
For whatever natural cause.
Wind, tree,
okay, let's say something. I had nothing to do with it.
Okay.
A storm. Natural causes.
Right.
We're talking tort law here.
All right.
Because once it falls over, there's people on the property, they get hurt from the fence somehow. Now you're looking to sue me.
Right.
Okay. And it's called a tort. Okay. Intentional tort, meaning you intended for this to happen.
Oh, well, that would.
There's elements of the intent.
Okay.
The intent. You see the intent?
Now, maybe if,
but
I,
here's
left,
the thing,
if I left the fence,
but
and
hold
the fence
on.
Was in really bad condition or something.
You're talking about a fence on your yard. Am I liable for it?
Okay.
So my fence falls because of a storm. I don't catch it right away because I was out to work. And you have to
right.
be home all
or
day with people over.
Or something like that or whatever.
Someone gets hurt. Someone's going to sue because they always sue.
Right.
Hopefully homeowners insurance is going to cover it.
Okay.
But I'm not going to be found liable because I didn't intend for that to happen, for that person to get hurt.
Right, exactly.
Okay, it wasn't intended.
No.
Now, I'm not a tort lawyer.
No.
My good friend, though, Don Soul, is
okay.
a great, Dan Iacco, Pat Richards.
Okay.
Grace Soul Iacco. Great.
Now, let me throw this throw this one at you. So
a little plug for them.
Let's say this fence.
But hold on.
Okay.
I didn't answer the other question.
Okay, we'll answer the other question.
So the question was, if it falls on your property, am
right.
I responsible to remove it?
Right.
Well, of course I'm going to remove
okay.
it.
All right.
But if it depends how far it falls, I might say, hey, Craig, I'm knocking on your door. My fence just fell on your property. Can I have permission to go on your property?
Sure.
Because you don't want to trespass.
Yeah.
But I think it's reasonable that there's no trespass issue there under the law if that happens and you immediately go to remove it.
Right. Much like if you.
And there's no intent there. There's no criminal intent to
right.
trespass. You're trying to do something that you own.
Right.
You're so there's
to
no
take care
criminal
of your
intent
right.
there.
Now let's say this fence is in a state of disrepair. It's falling down. It's breaking. It's got holes. And let's say this natural occurrence happens and that fence was getting ready to fall, falls and puts damage on my car. Then what?
Okay, so let me back up.
Okay.
If you have a neighbor out there,
all right.
okay, your townships, your communities have ordinances and ordinance officers
right.
who get called for blight complaints. You will get ticketed.
Yep.
You'll get fined. I've even seen cases where people get threatened to be thrown in jail if they violate the court's order.
Yeah, you don't mow the
no,
lawn.
No,
you don't
in
fix
contempt.
Your house up.
I think I'm not that type of attorney. You have to be in contempt of court.
Okay.
And depends on the case and the circumstances. You could go to jail. Again, I'm throwing caution. I'm a criminal defense attorney here.
Right.
But you file a complaint with the city. Your scenario is that fence now falls, damages my vehicle.
Yeah, that's...
Well, of course you're liable.
Yeah.
Again, yeah. But does homeowners insurance cover that?
Would it cover... That's my question, because if the fence is in some state of disrepair and you didn't fix it and then it happens, I don't know. I think your home insurance would deny the claim. I think.
So the question is, does someone from the insurance company come out, take a picture of the fence and say, whoa, that fence is in horrible disrepair?
Probably.
Yeah, but as someone that pays a lot of money into insurance companies, if my... Okay. Insurance companies are some of the richest companies. Don't get
sure.
me started on insurance
yeah.
companies.
Oh,
I love my insurance agent. She does it. Brickner.
Oh, no.
Great job, Mount Pleasant.
Let's back
but
up.
I'm just saying.
Let's back up. Your local insurance agent is a good, hardworking member of the community.
Yeah.
We're talking about the big insurance companies who
right.
are making billions and billions of
right.
dollars.
And you know what they're doing with our money? They're making money off our money.
Well, sure they
What
are.
Do you think banks do with money? They take your money. They make money off your money.
Yeah. Insurance companies do it. When we get back from break, don't get me started on the insurance. Much like that,
no,
to get you
don't
started.
Get me started.
The insurance company.
On...
I will give you my theory on the insurance company.
Yeah.
But we got to go to break.
You said you'd meet
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We come to you each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on 98.5 WUPS, Rock 105 and 95.5 on the Black Diamond Group stations.
Mothership, right?
Mothership.
Here.
We're in the middle of the Mitten. What a beautiful green field.
Thank God you keep the fence around the mothership taken care of. There'd
yes.
be trouble.
Because we're talking
That's right.
property rights.
Yeah.
We're talking property. We talk about larceny by conversion.
Now I have a question about the larceny of conversion. Let's go back to that a second, okay? You say you're going to let me borrow your laptop.
No, you ask to borrow it.
Todd, can I borrow your laptop?
Yes.
All right, I'm now borrowing your laptop.
How long do you need it for?
I need it for a week.
Okay. You can use it for a week, but after a week, I need it back.
Okay, sure.
So you can have it till a week from today.
Okay.
7 days.
All right, so a week. 2 weeks come by, ring, ring, ring. Where's my laptop? I don't answer your calls. I send you a voicemail. I deny your calls. Month goes by, 2 months.
You stop showing up to do the show.
That's right. That's larceny by conversion.
Correct.
I have taken that piece of property and now I'm making it my own without your consent.
That's correct. Larceny by conversion. So you had permission at first to use my personal property.
To borrow it. And then eventually I've now got my bookmark saved. I've got my website saved on it. I've got some music downloaded to it. I have now converted it to my own personal use without your permission.
Correct.
What happens if you come over to my house and you leave your laptop there and I call you and say, hey man, you left your laptop here. Do you want it back? And you never return my call. And a couple weeks goes by. What happens then? Possession, 9/10 of the law. Do I then get to keep it if you don't want it? You don't ever say you want it back. Now, maybe you come back and what's the limit of statute, the statute of time. If you come back in a year and say, hey, I want my laptop back. Is it you snooze, you lose because you didn't come and get it?
All right. So let me answer that. But
okay.
But again, we're talking about larceny by conversion.
Right.
Or theft by conversion,
right.
Which is any person to whom money, goods, or other property, which may be the subject of larceny,
okay,
shall have been delivered, like my laptop.
Right.
And then you fraudulently convert to your own use. And you had the intent to defraud me of that use and embezzle it.
Right.
You know, such as goods, money, or other property or any part. But your question is, so that's larceny by conversion.
Sure.
You convert it to your own personal use.
Right. Without your permission.
There's different areas. Your question was, what if I just come over, leave my laptop there and never request it back?
Right. Or you don't request it back for like a certain amount of time.
So here's the question.
Okay.
Did I forget it? Did I abandon it? Or is it lost? Okay. So that's the question. Because what if you find someone's property? What if you walk along a sidewalk or a curb and you find something that it looks like someone's personal property? I mean,
right.
It could be anything.
Right.
What do you do with it?
Well, you should take it to the police, depending on the value of it.
That's the correct answer.
If I find, a shoe, what about a tennis shoe or something? You find somebody's shoe, do you really take that to the police?
Maybe no, you get you throw it
shoe.
Away.
If
it's just one shoe. But what if it's a box of shoes? But here's the thing.
What if it's a wallet? Or what
somebody,
if it's a watch or a CD player or a phone or something?
If I lost something, I still possess it.
Right.
Okay? If I abandon something, then you could take it and it's not a crime. Garbage. Did you know how garbage pickers can legally do that? Because it's something you're abandoned.
Right.
You abandon your garbage.
Yep.
No, seriously.
No, I know.
Okay? But how about you forget that it's there? Well, if you forget it, it's kind of lost.
That's the gray area.
The forget is the gray area.
Okay,
I forgot it. But it's still mine. And here's the thing. You're my friend. Why didn't you tell me I forgot it? I left it at your house.
That's what I said.
It's not abandoned.
I called you and said, hey, you left your laptop here. Do you want it back? And you don't answer.
If you can prove that you called me, emailed me, told me that I left my laptop there 6 months later, I left my laptop at Craig's. I want it back. No. Listen, you abandoned that laptop.
Right.
I now possess it. It's mine.
Possession
this is
9/10 of the law.
I adversely possess your computer. No, you can't do it. We're talking about land early in the show.
No.
But again, did you lose it? Is the property lost, abandoned, or did you forget it? Or misplaced it?
Misplaced it.
Yeah. Or did you throw it away? Abandoned. You throw it away.
It's in the garbage.
That's also
fair game.
Folks, we're talking property first year of law school.
Yeah.
You learn about personal and real property. Now, real property is land. a house.
Okay.
Fixtures is something affixed to the house.
Right.
You see, personal property in divorces, shoes, clothing, something that's not attached to the real property is personal property.
Like a laptop.
Like a laptop, this, personal property. Situation. But real situation. Property is real property. It's attached to the land. Fixtures are fixtures.
A fence. A tree. Hanging over into my yard.
By the way, after the show,
okay,
I'm going to go and trim my tree so it doesn't fall on Craig Russell's yard.
Wait a minute now. You don't have any neighbors, and we don't live in the same town. So maybe somebody else is playing the part of me and has complained about your tree.
Neighbors are so contentious. It's so hard having neighbors.
It is.
Oh, no, seriously.
I mean, most places, most time you get along with your neighbor, especially if you live someplace for a long time, you know the neighbors, you get along with them, stuff like that. I've lived in so many apartments and met so many people. Some neighbors are good. Some neighbors are not so good. Some are super loud. Some are not.
People just, let's just agree, people don't care.
Well, you know, no, I don't necessarily believe that to be true.
No, there's a lot of...
I live in an apartment.
Spend some time in court with me.
Well, okay.
Okay?
You got a good point.
But here's the thing. People just need to get along.
That's true.
You know what we need more of? This is completely random. This is random.
No, it is.
I don't know how this came to my thought of mind.
Okay.
We need more slow dancing. Young people no longer slow dance, okay? I'm just saying.
What is that?
No, on the way to the show today, I heard Stairway to Heaven... And it reminded me of slow dancing. And then if you ask, look, I know we're about to end the show here, so we got to talk about slow dancing for a moment.
Okay, it's your show.
Young people don't slow dance anymore.
No, that's true. They don't. They don't make slow songs.
We're talking about neighbors that don't get along. Yeah. I'm not saying you should go slow dance with your neighbor.
Maybe if the neighbors did more slow dancing.
But slow dancing, come on.
To the music.
No. Stairway to Heaven, 15 minutes.
Who slow dances to Stairway to Heaven?
There's a. How's this start?
Is
it?
You're not sucking me in.
No. You know what another great slow song was?
What?
Prince.
Oh, Purple Rain.
Do me, baby.
Purple Rain is a great slow song.
Like, no, this is before Purple Rain.
Oh.
Do me, baby, like you never done before. Woo.
Wow,
come on, Prince.
I know Prince, but I don't
know.
That's
a horrible Prince.
That was a pretty bad Prince.
But you know what song I'm talking about?
I don't. That's
come
the
on.
Thing. That's the thing I'm
It was called Doomy Baby.
Oh, well, I didn't know it was that. No, okay.
You don't remember Tina Marie and Rick James, that slow song?
That.
Luther Vandross?
Oh, now Luther.
Teddy Pendergrass?
Yeah.
Come on, baby.
Now you're doing some slow jamming.
We grew up going to kitty dance clubs. We used to go to Spanky's, Premier Center, My Place, Linolte's.
Oh, and when you got
all those
older,
dance
you
clubs.
Y'all, when you got older, you got to go to see shows at Harpo's.
Ritz.
Yeah, but we
went to a place called My Place, 9 and Gratiot, because I'm 52. Berkeley High Class 83. We used to hang out on the East Side with all my cousins. My Place had a slide on the second floor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, do you remember the song, The Roof? The roof is on fire. We don't need no water.
That blanky blank.
Yeah.
Exactly. I do remember that.
Those are great songs.
Yeah. Early 80s. But they don't make slow songs anymore. Have you heard any slow songs lately? They don't make slow songs anymore.
You got to
come back to the old stuff is the slow songs. I don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. R. Kelly was just at the casino a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I was trying to figure out who that was.
Bump and grind, R. Kelly, or Guy, any of those kind of bands.
How about Nirvana? Did Nirvana ever do a slow song?
Well, they did.
No,
really
Unplugged.
Not dancing.
How about Nirvana? Nirvana Unplugged on MTV.
Dancing to Nirvana.
Are you kidding me? I used to mosh pit to Nirvana.
Well, okay, not slow dancing. You're talking about slow dancing. Mosh pit,
yeah, but
no,
because when Nirvana did MTV Unplugged, which I wish they would bring back, I would love to hear.
You know they're bringing back TRL on MTV?
Really?
They're bringing back TRL.
Okay.
They're going to do a new version of TRL.
Unplugged.
They're starting to come back with more music on MTV. Surprisingly, music television... With music, much like this law show, when it talks about law,
they
it's
say
the same thing.
They say, "What was the first?" Here's a trivial question for Mr. Radio Guy.
I know the answer.
You know what I'm going to ask you?
Video killed the radio star by the Buggles.
First song on MTV.
Who was the lead singer of the Buggles?
I have no idea.
Trevor Anderson. You know who he was in? He was in Yes.
How do you know that?
Because I have a memory that knows that stuff. But ask me the square root of 144.
No idea.
I'm having the faintest idea.
Do you like Gladiators?
No, but don't call me Shirley.
How about Oingo Boingo?
I love
Oingo Boingo.
Great.
You know who else I like? Joe Jackson.
Oh, Stepping Out.
Remember Joe Jackson?
Yeah. Is she really going out with him?
Is she really going out with him? Is she really going to take him home tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Is she really going out with him?
I don't remember the rest.
It goes.
It's a great song.
In my around here, around here. Love Joe Jackson. Yeah. Let's end this show with some Joe Jackson.
You got it, man. No, stepping out tonight. Stepping out tonight.
How's that go?
We're stepping out tonight.
No, let's do it with what I was saying.
Oh, you want to do? Is she really going out with
them? Yeah, is she really going out with them?
Taking them out.
Show's over. We got to go.
All right.
I'm not just a litigator. Joe Jackson, take us out. I'm an advocator. See you next week. Is she really going out?
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malley Well Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder of Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs, Happy Hydro in Gaylord and Petoskey, where the happy people go to grow, and Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, offering free estimates and easy financing.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.